We're having a little pause just for this Sunday from our Revelation series. We've been going through the book of Revelation to discover the things that God's saying to us as we think about our future. And really, as I talk, I want to just pause and even reflect on things that God has been saying through Revelation. And also, as we look ahead, continue to really talk about what I sense God's saying about our future. But the verse I want to use to unpack all this is our verse for the year. Spoke about it at the beginning of the year, but I know some people have joined us since then, which is fantastic. I know others were away on the 4th of January. So this is the verse that I want us to come back to and really to think again and afresh at a vision of freedom. So we've got the verse up here on the screen, and it says this. And we've got little cards as well that if you want to take one and pin it on your fridge, help you remember this verse, I really encourage you, get scripture, the word of God into your heart. It helps so much. But here's what it says. I'm going to read it through once, and then we're all going to read it through together. So here we go. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. And that's Galatians 5:13, Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, just to encourage them to walk in the freedom. And it's a great letter, short little book in the Bible. I'd encourage you to read it. I've been doing that, reading it afresh this week. But should we just read this verse all together? Here we go. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Serve one another in love. So let me pray now that I'd be able to do that to serve you folks, and that we'd be able to do that together as a church. So Lord Jesus, come, we pray now by your Spirit. Lord, move in your liberating power. Lord Jesus, I pray for great freedom for me as I share the things you've put on my heart. Lord, a freedom in Christ that comes from you. But Lord, I pray too that I would know how to serve these folks that I'm just so thankful for. And I pray too that we would then know how to serve others in love. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. I want to talk this morning about a vision of freedom. What does freedom look like? What does freedom look like? And as I'm doing that, I'm even just wondering, was that something up here or was that something down there? It's okay. Fantastic. What does freedom look like? And as we think about that, I want us to reflect on what we see God doing in our world around us, what God is doing in us as a church, and what God is saying to us. And I think in all those questions, I believe that this verse that we've been just reading now and this question of what does freedom really look like is hugely relevant for us. I want to start first with thinking about our world. What is God doing in our world at the moment? Well, since the beginning of the year, probably one of the dominant news stories, and again, it's in the news even just this week, has been the violence and atrocities that have been going on because of Islamic extremism in our world, particularly because of ISIS and the brutality and wickedness that they've been bringing in different ways to our world, but also the kind of terrorist attacks in places like Paris on the offices of Charlie Hebdo. And maybe you remember this little phrase that it was just such a big part of the news over the last few months. I remember for us as a community, we were meeting on that day when the Paris attacks happened, and people were already hearing the news and starting praying for Paris. And Nick was one of our youth leaders, was in our community, and said, there's been these terrible shootings in Paris, and we need to be praying. So we got praying as a community. And I remember that night, after we'd finished, I went on Twitter and just wanted to say we're praying for Paris. And I noticed already that there were tons of people, obviously, you know, talking about it. And one of the huge things that was kind of trending at that time was this little phrase, Je suis Charlie. You know, Charlie Hebdo had been a magazine that was, had these kind of satirical cartoons. It was an expression, if you like, of free speech. And there was, loads of people writing this hashtag, Je suis Charlie, even on that very night. And I remember myself, because I was so appalled by this wickedness of the terrorist attacks, and I was so struck by their kind of the attack they seemed to be on the sort of freedom of others to just to express things, that I thought, you know what, maybe I'd just put this hashtag on it. And I just thought for a moment, I'm not sure because I'm not 100% sure what Charlie Hebdo kind of stands for, what their vision of freedom is. I knew I was against the attackers, but I didn't know exactly whether I was 100% for Charlie Hebdo. So I just paused, and over the next few weeks, next few days even, there was sort of tons of things in the newspapers. There was the loads of marches, and you probably remember marches like this that happened. And there was loads of kind of other great cartoons that came out, really kind of highlighting some of the power of the written word over some of the sort of violent tactics that ISIS were employing. And then there were the discussions, loads of discussions, loads and loads and loads and loads of discussions about freedom. Even this week, heard on the radio a heated debate. Should people be allowed to be free to express their views and encourage other people and incite them to murder or to abuse? Two people on the radio, one who said freedom of speech is so important that people should be allowed. The other person saying, you're nuts. People allowed to encourage others to murder? Debates going on in our world about what is the vision of freedom? How free should people be to offend? Debates about the freedom on our in the use of the internet. Should people be free to have the privacy that they want on online, or should there be much more kind of freedom of government to control what's put online, and even to be able to monitor it for the security or for other reasons? So what do you think? Who should be free, the people or the government? It's a complex debate, important debate. And it highlights that actually that vision of freedom is quite different depending on who you're talking to. In fact, some people even in our own nation would see ISIS as freedom fighters, fighting for the freedom to have an Islamic state. That's why people have been going and joining them. Strong sense of community, as these folks say, well, we want to be free to do what we want and be under a strict Islamic law. Okay, that might mean we're in adamant hostility to all those around us. But the European secularist vision of freedom is something very different. Primarily here in Europe, and I'd say particularly in Brighton Hove, the vision of freedom that people have around us is simply this: freedom to do what I want to do. Freedom to say what I want to say. Freedom to live how I want to live. Where does that lead? What happens when you have a vision of freedom like that? Think about maybe your relationships in your family or your children. If your children just have the view, well, I want to do what I want to do and I'm going to do it, and the other wants to say, oh, I'm going to do what I'm going to do and I'm going to do it. What ends up happening with those kids? They end up fighting. They end up divided. You see that, don't you, in marriages? Well, I want to do this. Well, I'm going to do this. Well, okay, we'll go our separate ways. You see that in brother-sister relationships. You see that in communities. One of the amazing things about Europe is we like to think anyone's welcome, but we really don't really welcome them, do we? We kind of say, well, you can come here as long as you do your thing over there and we'll do our thing over here and you don't get in the way of us. And your freedoms don't impinge on my freedoms. Not much of a welcome. In fact, Europe's got some of the highest levels of isolation going on. Because you see, this vision of freedom, this I'll do what I want, how I want, it actually undermines community. Leads to a fragmentation of society that you and I are living in and experiencing all around us. How many people really know the neighbors up and down their street? How many people really mix with people very different from themselves, either ethnically or in terms of age? We live in these little ghettos of people who will do things like we do them. And so this vision of freedom, it's not all it's cracked up to be. And actually, the kind of ISIS vision of freedom, the kind of the view that the free to impose law, if you like, that's like legalism. And the European secularist vision of freedom is like liberalism. It's like, okay, we'll do our things our way. And the Christian vision of freedom is neither. Christ's vision of freedom is altogether another kind of way. The Christian vision of freedom is so wonderfully encapsulated in Galatians. Look again with me at Galatians 5:13. It says, you, my brothers, were called to be free. The calling of Christ, the rescuer, the savior, the liberator says, come be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather serve one another in love. The vision of freedom that Christ brings is a freedom that, as you read through Galatians, is both challenges the legalism of the Jews at the time of Paul, but would challenge the legalism of others who would want to impress more and more laws on people. But it would also challenge the kind of, well, if you get away with the law, then maybe we can just do what we like. Because Galatians goes on and says, no, don't do that. There's another way, there's a third way, there's a vision of freedom which looks like the one who brings that freedom. You see, freedom is not self-serving. Can you just say that with me? Freedom is not self-serving. I believe God's exposing this in our world in many different places, that real freedom is not self-serving. Whether that's self-serving governments who are trying to get things to go their own way so that things can just be better for them or more secure for them in their government, or whether freedom or people or as individuals trying to just do what they want as self-serving individuals. Jesus comes and challenges both. And what he does is he shows us that the problem in our world, the problem that we kind of want freedom from, is actually a far bigger problem than any of us realize. If you've got your Bibles, do look at Galatians 2 verse, in fact, Galatians 3 verse 22 here with me. Galatians 3 verse 22, a scripture that I'd just not really kind of clocked until this week when I was reading afresh through Galatians. It says this, but the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. Get a load of that? That's a big problem. The scriptures declare that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. That this problem of sin runs so deep that it's actually got people enslaved to it. It's a huge problem in our world. And even in Galatians 5, you see this whole thing of what the sin nature looks like. And in chapter 5, verse 19, it says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I read that and I think it sounds a lot like kind of a lot of how Western Europe lives. In fact, very Brighton, to be honest. In fact, because we aren't those who kind of point the finger at others, we know that Paul is what he's saying is actually this stuff lurks inside each of us. This kind of thought, well, I want to be free to do things how I want. So widespread problems of addiction to money, sexual immorality, pornography, drink, food, stuff, position. All these things, selfish ambition. You know, they can be out there, but they can come into the church as well. And folks, that's not freedom. That's not living free, is it? That's slavery, slavery to self. I don't often have kind of dreams at night. I'm just not one of those people. I just go to sleep, I'm out, that's it. And then the alarm goes and I'm up, or Jonah wakes up. But you know, maybe partly thinking about all this, I had quite a vivid dream last night. It's a dream in like this kind of enchanted house, and everyone kind of in it was kind of knew that if you got to the very top, you kind of were in this kind of fantastic place where you'd get everything you wanted, and you would be just as you wanted it. And I don't know, I was kind of exploring this house and going up these different steps, and I found this little passageway, and I was kind of excited in my dream. I thought, wow, can I get there? And I opened the door, and this dream turned into a nightmare. There was a guy in this top room. He'd obviously been there for ages. He was like a prisoner. He looked terrible. Looked like he kind of got there as a kid and then had just got stuck. He couldn't get out. There was loads of stuff and food around. But you know, vision of having things how we want them and doing what we want to do, it's not a heavenly vision. It's a hellish kind of vision. Because you see, freedom is not self-serving. Jesus is the only one who can bring freedom. Freedom is found in Jesus Christ because he's the only one who has power to deal with this problem of sin in our lives. Jesus is the one who steps into our world and comes and dies on a cross when he's done nothing wrong. Why does he die? He dies because we have done things wrong, and he comes to say, look, I will die in your place, taking the punishment you deserve so that you can be free from the guilt of sin, forgiven, liberated, rescued. The great hymn writer, Charles Wesley, has this bit in his hymn, And Can It Be, where he talks about, you know, long his spirit was kind of enslaved in sin, like in a cell. And it says, that it talks about kind of Christ coming in and this like gleam of light. And it says, my chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Because this Jesus comes into our world carrying a cross, and he's willing to so serve us, so love us, that he will die for us to set us free. It is amazing. And in fact, I saw this cartoon, which is really quite powerful, of how Jesus epitomizes what freedom is. You might think, well, Je suis Charlie is a kind of a vision of freedom, but it's not the real vision of freedom. This is a vision of freedom. This is the only true vision of freedom, Jesus Christ, who epitomizes more than anything else freedom. But look at him. Look at him. He's carrying a cross. He's wearing a crown of thorns. We've been reminded of a hymn that many here will know. It talks about the servant king. Can we just keep that up there? And it just talks about, come see his hands and his feet. The scars that speak of sacrifice. Hands that flung stars into space. Did you see the stars last night? So bright. So big. God is so great. He came into our world, and the hands that flung stars into space to cruel nails surrendered. This is our God, our servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to give our lives as a daily offering of worship to this servant king. You know, the one who said, as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, yet not my will, but yours be done. Picture of freedom. Free to pray, but free to serve and submit This morning, you and I need above all else to know this Jesus, to know his liberating power. You and I need as a church afresh to let him come and serve us, to see that he's kind of stooping down, as it were, to our feet or to our heart, to the dirtiest parts. This is the stuff that he's so good at. He loves to cleanse, to forgive, to restore, to strengthen. There is none like this Jesus, none who will come into such messy situations and serve us and help us. If you're feeling distant from God, don't worry, he's not going to wait until you come back to God. He's coming towards you to reach out with a hand of love. This is Jesus. Freedom is found in no one else. There is no one else like him. At the beginning of the year, as I was speaking on this, I said this, that living free is following Jesus. And following Jesus is living for others. And I think as I come to this second question that I want us to consider this morning, what is God doing in us as a church? I think God has been helping us and teaching us and working in us and showing us that that is really what it means to follow Jesus. To live free is to follow him, and then to follow him is to live for others, is to have in our heart this amazing thing that Tim was talking about last week of being willing to die to ourselves, to embrace even the bitterness, because the sweetness of following Jesus is so amazing. I do encourage you, if you weren't here last week, do listen to that talk on Revelation from last week that Tim gave. And you know, there's something here that is immense, that as we are willing to say, yes, Jesus, you're worth it, and not hold back from the cost, but say, you know what, serving others will be costly, but we're going to go for it. It is amazing what can happen. And I would say that as I have the huge privilege of leading this church, I see so many who I see God working in like that, and it astounds me. One of the really moving things for me last week was as people were just coming out of church, one woman, and I've asked if I can share this on, or whether she wanted, she said, do share it on her behalf, and you do say her name. She's known to many here, and she's an amazing woman, Wadia Duke. Came out of the service last Sunday and said, you know what? She was in tears, deeply moved. She said, well, God's really been challenging me. And she'd been reading a book about Calvary Road, about the way of Christ, and she was hearing what the message was last Sunday, and just God was working in her life, and she's Egyptian. Did you hear the news from a few weeks back? Egyptian Christians beheaded by ISIS. Her own countrymen. You can imagine all the feelings that she's been going through. And God really said to her, he's been challenging her about forgiving them. Forgiving them. She came out saying, I know I need to forgive them. I've been forgiving them. And more than that, he's been saying, pray for them. That is freedom. That is freedom, to be able to forgive those who've beheaded your countrymen and now start to pray for them. That is the way of Christ. And you know God's been putting on our hearts as a church more the persecuted church. And in these coming weeks, as we head into our World Week at the beginning of May, we're going to be thinking more about, but that I know that for many of us, actually, though we have a heart to pray for and release others into missions around the world, the mission field that God's given us here is Brighton and Hove. This is the place he's called us to serve. This is the place he wants us to live out, Galatians 5:13, that we would hear his voice, his call to be free, not to just do what we want and satisfy the sinful nature, but to serve in love. And here's this amazing city that God's called us to serve, Brighton and Hove. And he's placed us here right in the sort of middle of the city. It's amazing. I think of this location and just the people that pass by and the people that notice what's going on. And one of the things that I really believe passionately is that there's something very powerful that happens as we serve together. Yes, together with other churches, but together even as a church. There's something, an incredible dynamic like that. A few years back, about 5 years back, God gave us this vision For us as a church, a kind of picture of what we were like, and it was included this lake, this huge, wonderful lake, life-giving lake, to help others come to know the life-giving water of Jesus Christ. And it was a picture of kind of the central things that go on here, maybe particularly this Sunday time. And I want to say praise God for those people who discover Christ through this amazing lake. People who've been coming, people who've been recently coming to Alpha and getting baptized. And, you know, we've had some amazing baptisms this year. And as we look ahead, there's even more planned for these coming months. And if you want to get baptized, then please do come and speak to myself or Sean or Tim after the service. You know, one of the neat things God's been doing these past few months, he's been working on our children. Man, it's been exciting. Hannah is just going to come and share something of what God's been doing during Holiday Club. And I wonder if we can encourage Hannah just as she comes forward. I want to praise God for so many like Hannah who serve both at central things like the Holiday Club or, during the week. In fact, at the Hub this past week, they had kind of record numbers, which was the children's activity. So thanks for all those who've been serving there. But Hannah's just going to share something from her side of things of serving in the Holiday Club.
Hi, everyone. As you know, I'm currently off work at the moment, so I've got a bit more time than I usually would have. And the opportunity came up to serve in Holiday Club. I don't usually serve with the children in this church, so I was kind of asking whether it was the right thing to do. And I felt God telling me that I needed to give him this time. I was quite anxious, as I hadn't helped at Holiday Club for a few years now. I wasn't confident in teaching God's word to children in a way they can understand. And also, I was vulnerable emotionally. However, God gave me all the resources that I needed to serve over the 3 days. He gave me confidence and the guidance of an excellent team around me. I remember finding Friday morning particularly difficult, but a member of my team prayed with me, and I was able to kind of get through that day. And I don't think it was a coincidence that on that day we saw a girl in our group come to Christ, which was amazing. So there was singing, games, craft, loads of fun. And it was a blessing to be a part of that time.
Thank you. It's not easy serving. But I tell you what, it's a blessing. And I know there are many in this church, and you know, I see them sometimes at night shelter at the end of the day. A Sunday, and they're just about some of the bed down for the night, having served a meal. And it's tough, and there's difficult issues. But boy, that week, as they then talk about people who've been served, homeless folks, and remember that first night to one of those folks in the night shelter, even in the evening service beforehand, giving his life to Christ. And you know what? It's a blessing. I can see the smile on Rebecca's face right now. But it's tough too, isn't it? You see, serving is costly. That's why it's so good to do it with others. And one of the amazing things I want to encourage you in that we have the huge privilege of doing is coming and serving as part of this amazing lake that's giving life to people. Come and join in, or if you are involved, keep serving. If you want to find a way to get involved, I know Sean's come back really passionate about that kind of stuff as well, and empowering people and getting them serving. And Sean's going to be over here by the connections point. Just come and catch up with him. There'll be others there, and we'd love to help you find a place to serve. Even today, there's just tons of people serving in and around. Hallelujah, serving each other in love. But you know, that vision wasn't just of a lake. God's not just calling us to serve here centrally. One of the things that God gave us with that vision was this vision of a lake with rivers going out. You see, there are some people who are never going to come to the lake. We have to go to them. We have together to say, how can we release people? How can we serve out there so that we can help bring life to people who will never come here? And praise God, as we've been doing that, lives have been touched as well. That's that vision of missional communities kind of going out to places in the city or the communities. And that's that vision of us not just saying, okay, we want folks to come and serve here. But it's me and the leadership saying, guys, how can we serve you in your neighborhood and your network? How can we come and join you in the mission that you and your family are involved in, or you and your friends in your area? And that's costly. It's costly for us as a church. It means releasing people. And one of the amazing things we're discovering is that we do that. And we as a local community, we've been trying to do that. We discover that actually so often it's serving that unlocks doors. You know, not just stuff that we do together, but even as individuals, as people serve their neighbors. And we've been trying to do this with some of our friends. And then, you know what? They think, you know what? These may be people there, you know, these friends who wouldn't even necessarily come along to a candlelight carol service. They wouldn't even come to a candlelight carol service. And yet as we serve them, they think, well, we'll come along and join in with some of the stuff we're doing locally. And they meet others. And you know what? The walls begin to come down, the openness. And they see the love we have for each other. You see, as we serve each other in love and we allow others to see that in different parts of the city, it speaks volumes. It speaks volumes. The amazing thing as well with these rivers is as they go out, we are thinking, how do we partner with other Christians in those areas, naturally? And so our partnerships are being strengthened. We're not just finding how can we serve communities, but how can we serve churches as they seek to reach out. And many of you were involved in that amazing prayer night in February up at Oasis in Hangleton with churches and folks from churches in Molscombe and New Life Molscombe and Port Slade Baptist Church and Oasis Hangleton and Centre Church in Kemp Town. It was an amazing night. Such an encouragement to be praying together with others from across the city as we try together to reach out into various parts of our city for him. And you know, those same church leaders, they're excited about getting involved in Hope in a few months' time as we go on mission kind of together and seek to serve and spread out and bring the love of Christ. Look out for those days in the beginning of July. But you know, it's costly. And the further we go out, the deeper we need to go in and up with God. Many of you will know this triangle. It talks of our different relationships. As we go out and we look to develop that serving out into our world, we also need that upward relationship with God to be strong and that inward relationship with one another. And the further you go out, the more we need to go up and in, don't we? The more those need to be strengthened. So I'd encourage you, if you're trying to reach out in some way, stay connected in. Keep asking people to pray for you and be praying yourself. And let's be growing as a church in these things. That's why the connectedness with the lake and the rivers is so important. That we might all together be that free people, free to follow Jesus, to reach out, to do, be an extended family and do everything in love. And those rivers, I believe, are so key to working that out. Because actually in this bigger setting, we can be that, but it's even more like we're able to do the specific of it in those rivers as we go out into various areas. And so some of us, this is a time where not just do we need to consider serving in the lake, as it were, but actually serving in the rivers. Maybe again, you're already serving there. I'm amazed at the amazing high commitment of so many in this church when our culture around us has got this kind of low commitment. Praise God. It's like we've been thinking about this is not going to be a comfortable place to be. This is the call of Christ is not a comfortable call. It's a call for us to keep serving even when it's tough and to start serving if you haven't yet got involved. But you know what? It's worth it. Paul goes on his letter and says the Spirit helps us as he serves. And he comes at the end of his letter in Galatians 6:13, and he says this, whoever sows to please the flesh from their flesh will reap destruction, but whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. It's worth it because there's a resurrection. And however costly it might seem that we're going to reap eternal life, but not just that for us. Look at how it goes on. So let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If you're serving in some way, whether in the lake centrally or whether in those rivers, and I know many are doing both as well, and that's great when people can, but it won't be necessarily the calling for all of us. But when you're weary, don't give up. And if you're here and you're not serving, can you hear this? There are people who need you to come and draw alongside them. People who need you. We need you to come and help us in what God is doing in and through us, both here centrally and across the city in various places. We need to keep as a church that heart and say, how can we serve others? So what's God saying as we come to an end? Well, I believe God is saying this. Holland Road Baptist Church, live free. Be free in Christ. And you guys, we've got to get this. We've got to get this first and foremost. If we are trying to serve out of a sense of trying to earn our salvation or trying to compare ourselves with others, this is all going to go horribly wrong. We've got to serve out of that wide open space. He's done it. He's freed us. He loves us. He can't love us anymore. Remember hearing a story about Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was an amazing preacher, an amazing servant of God over the end, towards the end of his life, a couple of weeks before he died. He was now pretty much bedbound, and it took almost all his energy just to go to where, to his armchair. And someone asked him, he said, aren't you frustrated after all these years of kind of fruitful ministry? And he said, no. He said, in the words of Jesus in Luke 10, and where he says, do not rejoice that the Spirit submit to you, but rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. He said, I'm perfectly content. He hadn't tied his sense of worth or freedom to what he was doing. And there'll be different seasons. But we need to know that freedom that we have in Christ, that freedom that isn't then just to do what we like. And I get kind of worried when I think people kind of say, well, I'm free in Christ. I don't kind of need to come on a Sunday or get involved so much. I think, no, that's the world creeping in. Don't be like that. Reject this vision of freedom of the world that says free to do what you like. And let's come together to serve. And let's serve here and let's serve our city. Knowing that we're joining Christ in that. Because he's going ahead of us and he's going with us. They say, don't they, it's not what you do, it's who you do it with. Hey, it's great doing so many things with so many here. But above all, isn't it wonderful to do it with Jesus? To serve with him. To the least, the last, the lost. Serve the children and the older folks. Come. Come join us in serving Christ and serving others together. To give our lives as a daily offering. And maybe that's something you need to do just for the first time, even today. But maybe that's something you need to give yourself to afresh as you come this morning. So I'd love us just to pause, to be still. And I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus just to come and minister first and foremost to us, to set us free this morning. So Lord, please, in this time now of just stillness, we just want to come as we are. You know us, Lord. You know our struggles, our sin, our failure, our fears. You might even feel like there are some things that are kind of changed around your heart. Be free in the name of Jesus. Hear his voice calling you. His power on the cross and through his resurrection to break those chains. Hear his voice saying, I love you. I'm with you. I've got you. Come follow me. And then why not commit yourself again, afresh, even today, and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll follow you. But your vision of freedom is freedom indeed. As free people, part of today is to be asking God, what do you want us to do, Lord? How can we serve best? And again, in this time of just stillness, I invite you just to be doing that, to be asking that question, God, how do you want me to be serving? Maybe even think of those words that Katie was sharing earlier. What What is in your hand? What has God given you that you might be able to serve out of that? Just going to have some time of stillness, and then Tim and the band are going to come and lead us as we continue to respond in song.